The third case for oral argument this morning is the State of South Dakota versus Wayne Dustin Hahn. The State of South Dakota is the appellant and is represented by Andrew Connecton, Assistant Attorney General from Pierre, and the appellee, Mr. Hahn, is represented by Mr. Ronald Parsons, an attorney from Sioux Falls. Mr. Connect, you may proceed, sir, and you have 20 minutes.
May it please the court, counsel. On February 17th of 2007, Officer Ryan Flogstad was on patrol in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. At that time, at 7:30, he observed a black Ford Ranger traveling without any metal license plates. He then noticed that the temporary license tag in the rear window of the defendant's vehicle was partially obstructed by an object laying in the back of his truck. Because of this, Officer Flogstad initiated a traffic stop. After having pulled the vehicle over, Officer Flogstad exited his patrol car and proceeded to approach the defendant's window. At this time, he asked the defendant for his license, his registration, and his proof of insurance. The defendant was unable to provide his proof of insurance to Officer Flogstad, so Officer Flogstad proceeded. He looked at the dealer tag. He called in the defendant's numbers, and at the time, he told the defendant that he was going to run a license and warrant check on him. Now, after Officer Flogstad ran the license and warrant check, he discovered that the defendant had an outstanding warrant issued for his arrest for a weapons violation. Officer Flogstad then proceeded to place the defendant under arrest, and a search incident to that arrest revealed that the defendant had methamphetamine and drug paraphernalia in his pocket. So the defendant was arrested for possession of controlled substance. He was indicted for possession of controlled substance, and prior to trial, the defendant moved to suppress the evidence of the traffic stop. That suppression was granted. The trial court stated that at the time Officer Flogstad asked the defendant for his proof of insurance, he could no longer have had reasonable suspicion to believe that a traffic violation had occurred or was occurring. The state filed this appeal contesting that decision. We are asking the Supreme Court now to reverse the trial court's decision and allow the evidence from the traffic stop to be presented at trial. Our contention is that because Officer Flogstad made a valid traffic stop based on reasonable suspicion to believe that an offense had occurred, Officer Flogstad then had the authority to investigate whether or not the defendant was legally operating his vehicle on the highways.
What test do we use to determine that?
Whether
he had authority to go further and ask for the license.
Under our law, if the officer still has some objective, reasonable suspicion to believe that a traffic violation has occurred.
Okay, but isn't that what the trial court ruled, that he didn't at that, or he should have looked at the license as he walked by it, and then it would have dissipated?
Yeah, the trial court ruled that at the time Officer Flogstad asked for his proof of insurance that he no longer had that suspicion, specifically because the trial court reasoned that once Officer Flogstad passed the point of being able to look at the temporary dealer tag, he no longer could have had that suspicion.
So what's wrong with that?
Well, the reason, Your Honor, is because under our law, the officer is not obliged to go directly to a violation once he has made a traffic stop. Furthermore, under our laws, a reasonable investigation includes asking for the license, the proof of insurance, the registration, asking questions about the driver's destination and purpose, perhaps asking him to sit in the patrol car. However, in this case,
aren't those cases, almost all of them, though, based upon a traffic stop because of speeding, or at the time the officer goes to the window to ask for the driver's license, he's actually going to probably write out a ticket for something that he's observed at that point, that he's observed the traffic violation before he goes. Now, this particular case, he did not know that there was a violation until he looked at the license plate, isn't that right?
In this case, Your Honor, first of all, the standard is whether he had reasonable suspicion to believe that a violation had occurred. And furthermore...
Well, nobody disputes the stop. That's not the issue.
That's not the issue, Your Honor.
Okay.
The issue is whether, after he had been able to see that the dealer plate was valid, whether he still could ask the driver for his information. First of all, under our laws, any traffic violation, no matter how minor, warrants a stop and a reasonable investigation. This court has said that failure to prominently display a registration sticker would provide an officer with reasonable suspicion to conduct an investigatory stop. And furthermore, I believe to answer your question about how this case relates to other cases like speeding or some other violation, Officer Flogstad did observe that the defendant was driving with his temporary tag blocked, and therefore he had reasonable suspicion to believe that that was a violation and conduct an investigation.
But can he ignore looking at it forever in hopes of something else turning up?
Forever? Well, in this case, he
can he run through all the other possibilities before he even looks at it, when he walks right by it, and it's right there to be seen, and nothing is blocking it?
In this case, Your Honor, he walked right by it as he was approaching the driver to make contact with it. And I believe that under our state law, the question of whether or not an officer who has made a valid traffic stop based on reasonable suspicion of a violation, before he has made contact with the driver, can he ignore the violation? Yes, he can. Absolutely.
Can you cite a case that we've actually said that?
That has said that he can ignore the violation?
Yes. Or that he can...
That he can go directly from...
And not investigate the reason that he stopped him to see whether he still has reasonable suspicion?
I believe United States versus Dexter. In that case, involved a police officer who stopped a van with tinted rear windows. There was a temporary dealer tag in the rear of the van. That court found that the officer did have reasonable suspicion. That court found that the officer could have looked at the temporary tag before approaching the vehicle. But they said once that officer has made the stop, he can go directly to the driver. And one of the main issues cited in that was a concern for officer safety.
But Dexter involved a situation where because of the tinted glass, the ability to read the sticker was still impaired, as I read the case.
Dexter, yes. In Dexter, it involved a case of tinted glass, and in our case, it involves an object in the back of the truck obscuring the view of the...
Yeah, but didn't the officer testify it didn't obscure his view once he got closer?
Once he got closer, no. He could have looked at it. Mm-hmm. He could have looked at it, but he didn't. And under our law, I do not believe that it is material that he could or could not have seen it as he was approaching the driver.
Well, the trial court did. So why shouldn't we affirm the trial court?
Because under our law, our law does not require the officer to take that extra step of going from his patrol car to the violation rather than from his patrol car to the driver.
Well, we've never really addressed that issue in this court, have we?
I believe in... I'm not sure if we've addressed it head-on in that specific context. We certainly said before in Mueller and in Vento that once the officer has reasonable suspicion that this violation has happened, that officer can conduct an investigation.
But usually, almost all of those cases deal with the officer writing out a ticket and whether or not they can hold the person they stop long enough to finish writing the ticket, and then he can... Once they know they're going to write a ticket, then they can ask them for their driver's license. I mean, usually that's the scenario, that there's always some kind of a ticket that they've written out or that they're going to cite them for.
Yes, Your Honor. In this case, as I said before, the officer had observed a violation. He had observed.
So what you're saying is that doesn't matter. Once they have reasonable suspicion, to stop the vehicle, then they can go ahead and ask them for their driver's license, proof of insurance, without anything further, even if they know or should have known at that time there was no violation. Is that what you're saying?
Even if...
Are you saying anytime they stop somebody, they can ask for the driver's license and the insurance, even if they realize the reason they stopped them has dissipated?
Well, in this case, the reason he stopped him had not dissipated. But to answer your question, I believe that's something we would have to look at and see if the officer's actions were reasonable.
And the reasonableness of it was determined by the trial court. The trial court made that determination, took all the testimony, and determined that he should have looked at it.
The trial court did determine such, yes, Your Honor. The trial court determined that, I guess, he should have looked at it, that he should have known or somehow, but I believe under our case law, hypothetically, let's say that Officer Flogstad pulled Mr. Hayen over, and let's say Officer Flogstad walked up, and there's no question about did he see it or didn't he see it. Let's say he walked right up to the dealer tag, and he looked directly at it, and he, at that point, determined this is a valid dealer tag. He can still go up to him and ask him for his insurance information and his registration.
For what, under what theory?
Because he has already observed him committing a traffic violation under State v. Muller.
Well, I thought you just said he didn't. He realized he hadn't done that.
He realized that his tag was not expired.
Mm-hmm.
But he had still observed him driving with his dealer tag blocked, which is reasonable suspicion to believe that he has committed that traffic violation.
Well, you know, I have a question about that, whether it really was a violation. And I know that's not the test, whether a violation actually occurred.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the briefing that you did on those statutes, it doesn't seem to me that it's the same when you display the sticker in the place you're supposed to, and then there's something in the back of the pickup that is temporarily obscuring the view from a certain angle. Isn't that what happened here? I mean, the sticker was at the correct place in the window, as I recall.
Yes, the temporary tag was affixed in the correct spot in the window, but there was that object in the back of the truck that was blocking it, and it wasn't readily discernible by law enforcement. And that is why Officer Flogstad initiated the stop.
Well, now, there was no violation, at least from the officer's opinion, because the officer didn't write him a ticket for obstructing his temporary permit, did he?
The officer didn't write him a ticket, but I don't believe that under the Fourth Amendment analysis that whether or not the officer wrote the ticket for the initial violation is material to whether or not he can continue with his investigation.
So if an officer mistakenly stops somebody, they can continue just as if they had made a correct, their suspicion was correct.
If that officer had an objective, reasonable suspicion that he had committed a violation, yes, that officer can still proceed. Furthermore, I believe I touched on this a little bit earlier, but I don't think you can really overstate the importance of officer safety in a situation like this.
What did the officer testify about officer safety?
Nothing, Your Honor.
So how are we to, if the officer didn't testify that he was proceeding further for officer safety, we can't plug that in as a finding at this level.
The officer did not testify as to his own safety. However, I believe that one of the major concerns in a traffic stop, because it's inherently dangerous, is how the officer can proceed from his patrol car to identifying who he's dealing with at the time.
Did the court make a finding about that?
No, Your Honor.
I mean, I know there's instances where officers say, well, I was concerned for my safety. I saw the driver make a gesture, a furtive gesture, or move, or do something else. And so I went right to the window and was cautious. But the officer didn't say that here. He went right up to the window and did not ever testify that he was concerned about his safety. So how do we plug that into this case? You're saying we have to plug it into every traffic stop?
Your Honor, every traffic stop is inherently dangerous.
What case do you have for that?
Excuse me, Your Honor?
What case do you have for that?
United States versus Dexter. I believe says so. They pointed that out. That was a major concern of the police officer in that case.
Well, the officer expressed his concern there, though.
Yes, Your Honor, he did. And the state simply believes that because traffic violations are inherently dangerous.
So every time an officer pulls over Mrs. Bidley, who's 90 years old, because she's driving too slow, that's an inherently dangerous stop, and we're supposed to infer that in every case?
Well, what the point I believe I'm trying to make, Your Honor, is that we need to rely on the officer's judgment and if his actions at the time are reasonable. And maybe when the officer pulls over that 93-year-old lady, he might say, this isn't dangerous. I don't need to worry about what she's going to do. But we can't say that in every situation the officer suddenly needs to be distracted by the violation or go directly to the violation. We're simply saying that it's not unreasonable for an officer who has initiated a valid traffic stop to keep his eyes on the defendant and watching what the defendant does and find out and go up to the motorist and find out who this person is and just do an investigation for his own safety.
But is it reasonable for the officer to make the stop for the reason that you say, and we are not arguing about the stop, but is it reasonable for him to then proceed up to the side of the driver's door when he can see in the back of the pickup that there's a license there, the reason that he stopped him, and that the license appears to be in order? Now, is it reasonable for him to ignore that and walk on and then get all concerned about safety or something else or all the other things that could have been wrong?
Is it reasonable for him to ignore that as he's going?
Right. Is it reasonable?
I believe it's perfectly reasonable, Your Honor. Because under Mueller, if he still has reasonable suspicion that a traffic violation has occurred, and he already observed him driving with his blocked plates, most of these other situations that Justice Meyer Henry described, speeding, something like that, when he pulls him over, the guy's not speeding anymore. But he had observed that violation take place.
He observed what he apparently thought was the case. By the time he gets there, he knows better if he's reasonable about just looking.
In this case, there's two separate concerns about that. First is the fact that the plate was blocked in and of itself. That in and of itself, he reasonably suspects is a violation. And then whether or not that tag is valid or expired, he also has reason to believe that is a violation. And then when he approaches, even if he looks directly at it and says, okay, this tag is valid, he still had observed the defendant driving around with his tag blocked in the first place. And therefore, the state contends that he can go and conduct his investigation.
Did the officer testify that he thought there was a violation after he looked at the tag? He still thought there was a violation?
Excuse me, Your Honor?
Did the officer testify that he thought there was a violation?
I believe that's why he pulled him over in the first place.
Maybe I'm not asking my question well enough, but I understand that when as he's following, he can't see the part that has the expiration date.
Mm-hmm.
But once he does stop him and he checks out that he talks to this individual and looks at it, did he testify that he thought there had been a violation, or did he say, I realized that there had not been a violation?
Well, at the time the officer was talking to the defendant, he hadn't actually looked at the tag yet.
Right, but I mean, after he did look at the tag,
after
did he say that he thought there had been a... You're saying that there was a violation because he had the tag blocked. I'm asking you if the officer thought that, or if this is something you think.
Yeah, first of all, I do believe that it was a violation. And the officer did have objective, reasonable belief that it was a violation because it was blocked. And after the officer...
Did he testify to that?
Excuse me, Your Honor?
Did the officer testify that he thought there had been a violation after he saw the tag and saw that it was not expired? Did he say, well, okay, but there still was a violation here because it was blocked? Did he say that?
I don't recall that he testified to that, Your Honor. At the time he looked at the tag, the defendant had already failed to provide his proof of insurance.
Right.
So at that point, the officer had called in his name to the warrant check. And however,
and he never wrote a ticket for blocked license plates.
No, he didn't, Your Honor. And furthermore, I would also like to point out that in State versus Vento, this court has said that an officer's subjective belief to whether or not that violation has been committed doesn't matter as long as he has an objective reason to believe so. That was the case involving the man driving around with a license plate laying in his front window. And the officer testified, I was approaching the car. I saw that. I thought he was okay. I thought he was perfectly legal. And then he asked for his information, and this court said his beliefs on whether or not it was legal, his subjective beliefs are irrelevant as long as we can say he has an objective belief.
Your time has expired, Mr. Kinnick. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Parsons, you have 20 minutes, sir.
Mr. Chief Justice, may it please the court. Counsel. My name is Ron Parsons. I represent the defendant in this action. The proliferation of technology has complicated our lives quite a bit, but it has brought great factual clarity to the application of the Fourth Amendment in the South Dakota courts. The presence of video and audio in every patrol car essentially means that the prosecuting attorney, the defense attorney, the trial court judge, the appellate attorneys, and the five justices of this court are riding along for every patrol and are present for every challenge stop in the state of South Dakota. In his confirmation hearings, Chief Justice Roberts likened the role of a judge to an umpire or a referee. And with the advent of videotape, we now have instant replay. And the presence of the video here clears away, I would suggest, all of the factual discrepancies or questions that we might have about what occurred in this action. We know that the defendant had a valid temporary permit that was properly displayed exactly where it should have been. We know that he had some suitcases and other things that he was moving to a storage facility in the bed of his pickup, which is certainly not unusual or against the law in South Dakota. And we do know that the properly displayed, valid temporary permit was objectively visible to the officer immediately upon his initial approach to the vehicle. And, in fact, the officer admitted that at the hearing. The state has not really raised a factual challenge to any of these findings that Judge Severson made. What they've instead, I think, have kind of cleverly done is urged a subjective interpretation of what the officer was thinking or doing.
Doesn't it come down to this, that if the officer has reasonable suspicion to stop a vehicle, that they can, no matter what, proceed to the window and ask for your license and proof of insurance without anything further? I mean, that's really the bottom line.
That's the bottom line. That's the question. And that's entirely inconsistent with Supreme Court jurisprudence and this court's Fourth Amendment cases. In the Kenyon case, this court held that an investigative detention can last no longer than is necessary to effectuate the purpose of the stop. And in Muller, this court held that a reasonable traffic stop may include asking for a driver's license, asking the person to get out of the car, even get into the patrol car, calling in backup, so long as the officer still has some objectively reasonable suspicion that a traffic violation has occurred or is occurring. And in the present case, that did not exist as soon as he got out of the car. And could see.
What about the state's argument that there really was one, even though the officer didn't acknowledge it at the time and nobody else does either, but that it was blocked?
Well, certainly there was something in the pickup, and from behind, as the officer was watching the truck, it was blocked. I mean, part of it. He could see it. He just couldn't discern the expiration date from his vehicle because there was a suitcase or something in front of it. Now, as soon as you get out, you can see on the videotape and read from the hearing testimony that it is visible as soon as he walks up to the truck.
And he admitted that.
He admitted that. Nothing's pressed up against it. He just was moving some things in his truck. And moving something in your truck is not reasonable suspicion, nor is it a violation of the law in any sense. We talked about, in this case and in the argument before, that the constitutional standard, and Justice Zinter mentioned, it's really one of the most lenient standards under the law. If you look at the scale of burdens from beyond a reasonable doubt to preponderance of the evidence to probable cause, this is lower than all of those. Reasonable suspicion is really kind of a Fourth Amendment rational basis standard. And you can, officer can rely essentially on just about anything that is remotely reasonable that could create any sort of objective suspicion, and I think this court's cases and the Supreme Court cases establish that. But when you're making those determinations, you look at the totality of the circumstances, and the detaining officer must have a particularized and objective basis for suspecting wrongdoing. By particularized, it, you know, that means that, of course, it cannot be a mere hunch. It can't be a cop's good instincts. That's not enough in this situation. It has to be supported by specific facts that are capable of being articulated and capable of being analyzed by the courts. And by objective, it means that the officer's subjective beliefs just do not come into the picture in this type of circumstance. Now, the constitutional catch to this, and this is, I think, where the state's analysis goes off the road, as I almost did this morning, is that the detention can only last as long as that suspicion remains, and that's measured objectively. So it doesn't matter that there's no willful blindness exception to the Fourth Amendment. There's no forgetfulness exception to the Fourth Amendment. If objectively, a reasonable objective police officer could see that, yeah, there's the plate, it's exactly where it should be, hasn't been expired, then there is no longer any reasonable suspicion to support any continued detention.
Would it make a difference if the officer had a concern for his safety?
It might, if that was objectively reasonable. Of course, in this case, there is no evidence of that. It was never argued by the state below. No testimony was presented on that issue. So there's no basis objectively to conclude that in this case. And in fact, if there's a safety concern, what you would probably do is ask the person to get out of the car and do a pat-down search and have your hand on your weapon and determine safe, you know, what's happened. Here, the officer wanted to get back to his computer so he could run the information. And that's not evident of a safety concern.
Well, we don't dictate to officers what procedures they should use in a safety situation. They have to make that judgment at the time. But,
absolutely true.
But there could be circumstances where safety would dictate at least that he go up and check the driver out before he starts checking out the equipment violation.
Certainly, and I think it's reasonable to go up and introduce yourself and check out the driver. But when you start asking for information and going to run it back into the computer, that's going too far if there is no objective basis of any type of remaining violation. So I think that's where we fall into problems here, and that's what Judge Severson recognized.
Are you suggesting that asking for a driver's license and vehicle registration is as a matter of law, a further detention?
Yes. I think, as a matter of law, can be a further detention. If there is no reason to continue stopping somebody, then you may have had a reasonable suspicion to stop them, but you realized objectively, or should have realized objectively, that nothing has happened here, and I don't suspect anything based on facts is happening. To continue then to process the person's information and call up the computer to see what it has to say about him and do that type of thing, that would, I think, clearly fall under what's precluded by the Supreme Court in cases like Delaware versus Prowse. That's essentially, a person is in the same situation as someone walking down the street. I'd like to see your information. And that, we just don't allow that. And once the officer's determined that this person's not doing anything wrong and there's nothing that I can see that would lead me to believe he might be, then you can't continue.
The rub in this case is, though, for whatever reason, this officer didn't look, and we don't have a record that tells us whether the officer was acting in good faith or bad faith, whether he was just, you know, with the blinders on, well, I'm not going to look, I'm going to check things out. We don't know if it's that kind of case. We don't know if it's an absolutely good faith situation where, for whatever reason, he didn't.
I'm glad you brought that up, because good faith wouldn't make a difference.
I understand. But it's not the kind of case where we know those facts to further inform us on the reasonableness of asking for the driver's license.
Well, we do know that as soon as he looked, which was immediately after he asked for the information, as soon as he looked, he could tell that it was perfectly fine. He no longer suspected that there was anything wrong with the plate or the permit. He no longer had any objective reason to suspect. So even if it was all right for him to go up to the window and ask the officer, or ask the defendant, do you have your papers? He then looked. So subjectively, he then looked and knew. So at that point, with no longer any suspicion, he should have said, you know, I just looked, and you actually haven't done anything wrong. There's nothing I suspect you of. You know, you can go on your way. It's, you know, the courts and the law enforcement have opposing roles in these types of situations. It goes against a police officer's gut instincts to abort a detention and to let, you know, there's a natural instinct to want to see if there's anything else that can be learned about this person. And I think that's good. I mean, I think we want our police officers to be suspicious and to be aware of what's happening. But what the courts have to do is say, under the Fourth Amendment, you're proceeding at your own risk when you don't have any reasonable suspicion to continue detaining someone. And here, I think Judge Severson played his role just as he should have by saying that this stop ceased to be justified as soon as it was clear there was no criminal violation.
If we adopt your position, are we creating a rule that an officer must finish the investigatory part of the suspicion before the officer asks for the driver's license?
I think that would be stating it too broadly, because I think if you...
Well, but that's what you're saying here, that he had to finish that suspicion about the expired plate before he could legitimately and reasonably ask for the driver's license.
I would phrase it, you know, on the other side of the coin. I would say there's no objective rule that they have, there are no ground set rule that you have to do that in all cases, but whenever it is objectively clear that there is no reasonable suspicion, at that point the detention must be abandoned. So whenever in any circumstance that happens, however it happens, looked at objectively, that's when the detention has to be stopped.
Absent safety concerns.
Absolutely. If there are safety concerns, then that's something that the trial court judge would consider.
So it really depends on the very particular circumstances of each case.
It would. We're not asking for any type of broad rule. We're suggesting that this case was decided correctly. There's an old Twilight Zone episode where someone finds a remote control that stops the world. You can pause the world. And I think there was a movie based on that same premise. And that's exactly what we have here with this videotape. If you watch this videotape, you can see the officer. You can see he has a valid reason to make the stop because there's a suitcase blocking partially the temporary plate. But you can also see that as soon as he gets out of the car and walks up to the truck, it is valid. And if you pause the videotape right there, as we can, at 7:36 p.m. and 34 seconds, at that very moment, objectively, there is no reasonable suspicion that Mr. Hand had done anything wrong, had violated any traffic violation, committed any traffic violation, or that any violation was occurring. So at that precise point, he was required under the Fourth Amendment to abandon the stop. I would, therefore, unless the court has any additional questions.
I have one. Give us your view on the block versus expired business. The state's briefed this extensively, and it would make a difference in the analysis if a violation had occurred.
Yeah, if there's a violation, that's an objective basis for him to continue the stop, process the information. Absolutely. Even if he erroneously believes that there's a violation and continues to reasonably maintain that belief, he can continue the stop. But in this case, there is no violation that's occurred. You know, I've read these statutes over and over. It's not a violation of the law for someone to have something in their pickup truck, even if it temporarily might raise above the level of where your temporary permit is properly placed. I think what they've really tried to infer, and the part that they bold in their brief, is that SDCL 326B28 maintains that you have to get your permit within 30 days, have it transferred within 30 days after you purchase the car. And then once you do, it says that your bill of sale or your properly assigned registration card is subject at all times to inspection by a police officer. So they've tried to infer, well, the statute says at all times this is subject to inspection by a police officer. But if the court reads the statute that way, then that basically contravenes the Fourth Amendment. It's not, an officer can't just stop someone because they have a temporary permit and say, well, I'd like to see it and see if it's valid. There has to be a reasonable suspicion. And so this statute can't contravene the reasonable suspicion standard. And it appears to be that's what they were trying to suggest in the briefing. Objectively, or looking at the other statutes, there's nothing he did wrong. There's nothing that he violated. There's no suggestion that he violated anything in the trial court below. There was no finding by the court. There was no argument made that he did other than what's in their appellate briefs.
It's just that from his point of view, he couldn't see it behind him, which is, you know, kind of, after thinking about that, officers really can't see the number on your own license plates, and they know the color of it, but anybody's hard-pressed to see what month it is, whether it's mine expires in July and whether it's 6 or 8.
Exactly.
They know it's the right color, but which is it the right month? Now, that would, if we adopted the state's analysis, then they could stop every one of us and go ahead and ask, without looking further, and ask for our identification.
That's exactly right. And, you know, the constitutional standard might depend on a police officer's eyesight. I couldn't see it from there, so I'm going to go ahead and see what the computer has to say about you. It's not the Fourth Amendment standard as this court has ever applied it. So I very respectfully ask that this court affirm Judge Severson's very deliberative and proper application of the Fourth Amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Parsons. Mr. Knack, you have 10 minutes, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor. Well, the state doesn't disagree about how wonderful technology is, and we don't disagree that we all pretty much get to ride along with the police officer. A lot of this argument is about, as Mr. Parsons said, those few seconds between the time Officer Flocks had crossed over the threshold of being able to see the tag and the time he asked him for his information. Because in this case, the defendant could not provide his proof of insurance. And that enough gives Officer Flocks had reason to proceed with the checks and so forth. The only question is whether or not at the time Officer Flocks had reasonable suspicion to believe that the defendant had committed a traffic violation. And the state is saying, yes, he did. He observed the defendant driving with his license tag blocked. And we're talking now a lot about the officer's eyesight. Could he see it? Could he not see it? Well, in this case, the officer actually did testify that, yes, he usually can see the numbers on those tags. And furthermore, the question of, well, could he subjectively see it? Is it his bad eyesight? Is it his handwriting? In this case, there was actually a physical object blocking the numbers. It didn't have anything to do with the officer's eyesight. It didn't have anything to do with any other type of instruction that could or couldn't. There's no human on earth that could see through that suitcase and see those numbers. So therefore, Therefore, the question of Officer Fogg said, could he subjectively have read it, I think, is not an issue. Objectively, no one could physically see those numbers. And also, we're talking about the violation. The only way to get to the concept that he was driving and he did not, and that it was completely unreasonable for the officer to think that he committed a violation, was to say that it's okay for someone to drive around with their dealer tags blocked. That's basically what the defendant is saying. He phrases it as it's not illegal for someone to drive around with stuff in the bed of their pickup truck. That's true. It's not. But when you get to the point where the objects in your truck are blocking the view of the tag, that's a violation.
He didn't write him a violation, nor did he testify to that, though, did he?
He testified that he pulled him over.
Well, I understand that, but he didn't write him a violation ticket.
No, he didn't. But even if, hypothetically today, even if this court decides that that is not a violation, that it's perfectly okay for someone to drive around with their license tags blocked, the question is, did Officer Flogstad reasonably believe that it was a violation? And this court has already said, a driver with a temporary license is obliged to display it prominently all times. Reading the statutes together, the state specifically mandates exactly on your window where it should be displayed. And to say that the officer was unreasonable in believing that Mr. Hannon committed a traffic violation, I don't believe he was unreasonable at all in believing that was a violation. And I don't believe it was unreasonable for that officer to proceed to asking for his information. And there's a lot of talk about officer safety and blinders that he put up to ignore it. I wouldn't call that walking past the violation, not getting distracted by the violation, not conducting his investigation before making contact with the driver. I don't think that's blinders. I don't think that's ignoring. That is the officer being focused on the driver because he does not know who this person is. He does not know what this person is capable of. It's all we're saying. We don't mandate that an officer does it one way or does it another way, or how he conducts that investigation from those points. We're simply saying that it is not unreasonable for a police officer, after having made a valid traffic stop, to proceed directly to the defendant, identify himself, and gather information about the defendant before he starts walking around the car or examining the violation. And that is why the state is simply asking this court to reverse the trial court's suppression order and allow this evidence into trial. And if you have questions, I believe I'm finished.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Peck.